Lord, we come to you this morning in response to your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for what you've been doing all weekend. Lord, in our prayer summit, we thank you for showing up, Lord God, and your Holy Spirit that comes and partners with us and empowers us to live out this Christian life. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here, that is felt this morning, God. Lord, we surrender to your Holy Spirit. We open up our hearts in response, and we're ready for your word to impact our lives, Lord. We thank you and we love you, and it's in Jesus' mighty name. And the body of Christ says, I said, and the church says, I don't know about you, but I know where I come from. And God has brought me a mighty long way. I know it might not look like it right now, but I remember my life wandering around in the streets with no purpose, wondering, man, something like this. What am I going to do in this bush today? What am I going to do with my life today? Wandering around aimlessly, lost and bound to addiction, lost and bound to hurt and shame and guilt and all of the things that the world and the enemy tried to put on me. But can I tell you here today that I have been set free by the blood of Jesus, by the power that is found in Christ, and I am grateful that God established this thing called the church. Because as a lost young man, I was able to walk into a church just like this. I sat in the pastor's seat not knowing what seat I was sitting in. And can I tell you, I was wondering what was going to happen. And I thank God that there was a people that were sensitive, that loved the Lord, that were attentive to what was going on. And they said, man, there's a young man in our church and God's going to do something special in his life. And there in that pastor's seat, I don't remember the message, but I remember the power. And I was drawn up to the altar right here, like many of you here this morning are going to do, whether you're the newest Christian or the oldest Christian here in this place. I was drawn to the altar by the Holy Spirit, and it was there at the altar. Boom, I got hit like a ton of bricks, and I felt this overwhelming presence of peace. And that's what I believe God wants to bring to our city, is peace. That's what I believe God wants to bring to the church. It's not confusion, it's not this, it's not that, but it's love and it's peace. And it was there at the altar where I got hit with God's love. I got hit with God's peace. And hear me now. I walked for about 14, 15 years with all of this weight from the world, all the shame, the guilt, all those options that I threw away, and all those burnt bridges, and all those people I let down, and all the loved ones that loved me, but I wasn't loving them back properly. And that day when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, all of that was lifted off of me, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. Is there anybody here today that needs some things lifted off of them? Come on. I said, is there anybody here today that says, I need this lifted off of my life, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to set his presence upon me? Can we give the Lord one more good hand of praise here in this place? Look at your neighbor and tell him, I hope you're ready. Can we give the UTC a good hand here today? You can go ahead and be seated. And I just want to make mention of what the UTC is. Hallelujah. Is the UTC out there? Praise God. And we have the wonderful privilege. I want to say thank you, Pastor, and to your wife and the team here. You guys are phenomenal at taking care of people, and we love that about you guys, and you are a model in that area, and so thank you so much. We love partnering with Milwaukee. We come here and we tear it up in the streets, and we pass out flyers, and we're able to be here, not only give but receive what took place yesterday in the prayer summit, and we're so grateful to be a part. But for those who don't know what the UTC is, we want to let you know what the UTC is. The UTC is the Urban Training Center, and it's where young people from all around the world, all those young people that were saying, woo, right? They come from all around the world, from different cities and different parts, from Amsterdam, from South Africa, from Northern California, from Southern California, from Mexico. They come from all around the world, and they find themselves here in Illinois, and also they're able to learn how to give their life to God for either 6 months to a year, and they're being trained and developed in the things of the Lord. And then that's where they're able to step out and do things like this. Never have they, you know, been on a worship team like that, but they're able to be used, and God is training them and developing them, and they're able to present the gifts that God gave them. And it's a beautiful place, the UTC. Me and my wife have been there directing. Actually, matter of fact, can I call up my wife here this morning, my beautiful wife? How dare I not call it my beautiful wife, right? But we have the wonderful privilege to be here for the last year and a half as missionaries in the UTC. And God has done amazing things, not only in the students' lives, but in our lives. I believe that this moment was instrumental for our leadership as well. I believe that God is doing something around the world. And for us to be able to be the conduit, the ones that, you know, the Lord says, I'm entrusting you to catch this thing and give it out to the next layer of individuals. And all the young people, they come. And it's just a wonderful thing what we see God is doing. But I would like to give you an opportunity to greet the church and to say what you'd like to say here this morning.
Amen. Well, I'm going to start with a special song. So I'm just kidding. Connie was thrown off right now back there. No, I bring greetings from the Urban Training Center there in Chicago. And I'm just so grateful. I love Milwaukee. I love your pastors. They are like family to me. When you're right far away from your family, you are grateful for those that embrace you like family. And so I love Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, because since we came here, they loved on us. And you have great pastors, and you have a man and a woman of God, of prayer, of faith, that have been through some trials, that have been through some things that you may never know, but they've been there, and they're here because they love this city and they love you. And so let's give your pastors a hand. We got to give honor to where honor is due, and your pastors are a man and woman of faith and of love. And so me and my husband, we're just so grateful to be here. I grew up a messed up young girl. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I thought that it was normal to live in chaos. I thought everyone lived at the drug house. I thought it was normal to have people come in and out of my house throughout the day. And my family was a mess, lost and bound. My dad was homeless on the streets. He was drug addicted. He was in gangs. All I knew was chaos. All I knew was fear. All I knew was insecurities and doubts. And all I wanted was just love. Right? As a young girl, I just wanted love. And I felt that no one could love me. And I just grew up in this chaos, and one day the Lord came into my family's life. It's like one day we're this, and the next day we're like in the ministry and church, and my whole life changed. It was crazy. It's a whole other story. It's crazy. But I'm grateful because God saved my family. And how many of you guys know, even if you grow up in the church, you grow up in ministry, you have the church kids, right? The church kids. And I was one of those church kids. I grew up in the ministry. I knew the whole order of service. I knew what scripture they were going to say. I knew all the outwards. And I, even as a young teenager, I fell from God. I left and I was wild. I was messed up. I was, you know, really, just lost. And I thank God for a praying father. My dad would pray for me. He would fast. He would believe. And I remember just coming in home, and I would be, you know, all messed up at night, and I would go into the living room just, and I was like, I heard something, and it's like 2 a.m, and I'd hear my dad just shondoing down, praying, and God save, weeping, God save my daughter, I need you to, a miracle. He was desperate. My dad was desperate, and so I am a product of a praying father. I'm a miracle, and then I vowed, you know, church kids, I said, I will never marry anyone from the men's home. And I married someone from the men's home. But I love my husband. We've been married now for going on 3 years. So we're still new to this, but we're true to this. Amen. This is my best friend. I love him. And we've been battle partners. And yeah, I'm just grateful. I'm sorry, I'm taking a long time, but I'm grateful. I love you, Milwaukee. And I'm just grateful for your guys' love, your support. And I know God's going to move today. And we love you.
Come on, give her a good hand. She got me all. I don't know if I can preach now. I was just playing. But as she said, battle partners, right? And today I want to preach a message. And I don't want it to go over our heads. And I don't want it to be too far out of fetch and out of reach. I want it to be simple here this morning. But I do want to talk about the DNA that God gave to the church. And today I want to preach a message entitled, Gifted. Gifted. Did you know that you're gifted? Did you know that every single one of you have a gift inside of you that God placed inside of you that he wants to use? And I know that sometimes within a society and right now in the body of Christ and also within the way the world looks at the church, that sometimes when we talk about the gifts, when we talk about spiritual gifts, it gets spooky, it gets out there. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about today the DNA that God gave to the church that brought growth to the early Christians. He gave us this game plan, right? When you go out onto the field and you're trying to get to the Super Bowl and you're trying to win, right? There's a formula, and I believe there's a formula that God gave to the church that brings growth. We both shared. We came from chaos. We came from broken families. I came from the system and the adoptive program, and my dad was a gang member and my mom was a drug addict, and everyone gave me up, and I was always finding myself in a new house and a new home. So guess what? When God brought me to a new house and brought me to the home, it was okay, because I said, you know what? I'm going to make the most of every situation. But I am grateful that God gave a formula to the church. I said, I am grateful that God had a plan for my life. And here today, I want you to know that God established this church in Milwaukee because this is God's plan to bring revival to the city. This is God's plan to bring growth to the family. This is God's plan to bring strength to the marriage. How many are grateful today that God had a plan for you and I? I don't know. I said, how many are grateful that God had a plan for your life? That he didn't leave you messed up, lost and bound and in the streets and all torn down. But God said, no, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my marriage. That's my child. And I got a plan for them. So I'm going to draw them into the house. And I'm going to set my spirit on them. And I'm going to let them loose to go reach the world. I find myself today in Milwaukee. I'm from Northern California, so I feel at home. Amen. But how many of us know we never thought in our wildest dreams that we would be on another part of the world or another part of the continent or another part of a country doing a work for God? But how many of us know they say if the gospel has truly reached you, it will begin to reach other people? So the gospel has reached me, and I want to reach other people. And so today I want to preach a message entitled Gifted. And this is something that I believe that God is teaching me. I believe this is something that God is giving to the church. We see it there in the book of Acts. Yesterday, as Pastor was preaching, I was up there on the balcony. I'm like, oh my God, he's preaching my message. Right? But that's only confirmation. That's confirmation that God is in the right place. This morning, I want to speak about spiritual gifts in the church and in the believers' lives. And I believe this. We've seen it in the video. The King is coming. We're in the end times. We're in the last days. And I believe that what we're going to share here today and what we were sharing all this whole weekend when we were speaking about the book of Acts is that was the beginning of the end times.
And what was poured out there with the 120 that Pastor was preaching about, the signs and the wonders and the speaking of tongues and interpretation of what was going on, and then the power that they left that room with. It says after they left, 3,000 got saved. And the birth of the church began to take place. And so today, I just want to keep it simple, and I just want to show you the formula and let you know that God has gifted the church, and he set those gifts on every single one of us. Please don't take it here and don't take it there. Let's keep it simple to what the gospel says. There's more than prophecy and healing and miracles. There's giving. Hello. You say you want to be blessed, you got to give a big blessing. You got to give it all to God, right? There's encouragement. There's just different gifts. It's not just this one or that one. There's a wide variety of gifts, and I believe those gifts are sitting in these seats. And so today I believe God, he just wants to let you know about your gift so you can identify it so that we can further the gospel here in this city. Is that okay if we share that with you here this morning? You know, it could be said like this: any gift that is left unopened or disregarded is useless. God gifted the body of Christ with gifts so that we can be effective. And if we are not effective, that means that we're rendered useless. And God forbid the day when the church is a place that is rendered useless. I told you where I came from. I couldn't walk into a place and get my miracle and get the change that I needed in my life if it was useless. My friend, I'm here to tell you, we have got to operate in the gifts that God has given us of loving one another, encouraging one another, partnering with one another so that we can take each other along this battle that we're talking about, this spiritual fight that we're in. I'm telling you, you're in a city that has demons. You're in a city that has strongholds. Every part of the world has a different stronghold. We can't just enter in without the power of God. And I believe God wants to do something special this year. I believe this, that God this year is going to do something greater than he's done in any year before. Are you with me? I said, I believe God is going to do something here in Milwaukee. I believe God is going to do something in Victory Outreach International. We already see him stirring up the third wave and positioning, and our elders and our leadership and our pastors. We want to make sure the third wave has the DNA of prayer, has the DNA of passion, has the DNA of fasting, and know how to get a hold of God. But I believe right now, my friends, that God is positioning the church so that we can enter into the cities and be effective. Man, how sad it would have been if I walked through the doors and I just stayed the same guy. They would have said, hey, that's the pastor's seat, move. What? I would have left, but no, there was a people who had gifts in their life. There was a people who had discernment. Oh, don't tell that kid to move. Or maybe the pastor was the only one that had the discernment. I don't know. But he said, don't touch him. Don't. The pastor told me before service, he said, come back. God showed me you in my prayers. And he has something special for you today. And I was like, yeah, right. I took off. And he said, come back. Service starts in 20 minutes. And you watch God touch your life. But how dare, or how would have been if I would have walked through those doors and it was a place where I couldn't find restoration, where I couldn't find the Holy Spirit, where I couldn't find my deliverance from drug addiction. I'm telling you, instantly, when I read the story of Paul, I'm like, from one moment to the next, like she said, from one day to the next, I was a drug addict. I was lost and bound. Every day I lived one way, but all of a sudden when I got hit with the Holy Spirit, I said, I don't want that no more. I wonder why I don't want that no more. I used to run to that, but now I'm running from it. You know why? Because the power of God is real. And when you hit the power of God, when he reveals to you who you really are and what he really has for you, you say, man, I know that's a lie. Man, I know that's not for me. I don't want that no more. That's what's been holding me down. That's what's been holding me back. But the Lord just told me, man, something left me, but a new gift came upon me. I believe God is going to lay out some gifts today. I believe now more than ever, we are in a time where the church has got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now is time where we as a church have to understand that God is ready to bring revival through those doors. And you and I, we have things inside of us that God has given you so that you can partner with people. And we can go on this ride together. I'm so blessed that right now in this season I have men that will speak into my life, that I have pastors with education, and not only education but life experience for 20 years, for 30 years pastoring in different cities and in different moments and times, and saying, listen, boom, and I'm able to be open and I'm able to be touched and God is able to develop me. How many of us know that we need each other in this walk of faith? The church has always been effective because the body of believers chose to operate when God led it. And we can't get away from that. Can I tell you here today that every Christian is spiritually gifted in one area or the other? How can I say this? 1 Corinthians 12:7. You don't ever want to say anything from behind a pulpit that ain't backed up by Scripture. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:7 informs us, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Altar call? Altar call? It's simple. Right? I believe right now what God wants is an effective church. What God wants is a church that is on fire, that is moving, that is in the city. And I believe that's what we have here in Milwaukee. If you look at the fruit, if you look at the people, there is a devoted people here in this church that are saying, man, I care about what it looks like. I care about the cleanliness. I care about the doors being open. I care about all of these things and the heat being on. I care about people. I care about having a home. I care. We are in a place right now where we have people and individuals all around the world. We are banding together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're saying we care. We know it's the end times. The Lord is coming. It's going to get more wicked. It's going to get crazier. Who knows? Maybe 5 years. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe 10 years. But you and I as the church, we got to live right there on the edge saying, Lord, we don't know when you're going to come. But God, we know you're coming. So when you do, you come, we want to be ready. And until you get here, we want to make an impact in our city. Is there anybody that wants to make an impact in the city? Hey! Hey! All right, there you are. I want to make an impact. You know what God has been challenging me lately? And he's saying, yeah, you work at the UTC, you work with the students, and that's a whole job in itself. That takes you to be sensitive. That takes you to be tapped in with God. It's a whole nother level of having 25, 30 young people's lives on your shoulders who are connected to everyone in the outreach, right? But not only do you have the responsibility of building up the students, he's been challenging me, what impact are you making in Chicago? I'm like, oh, wow. Well, I came here to develop students for the outreach. And so I'm not going to lose that. I know that God is raising up end time young people. God is raising up young people that have the vision, right? And so we're doing our part to instill that. But then he was saying, yeah, but what are you doing? And so I begin to think, you're right. And God is challenging me for the burden. He's placing this burden in me. And he's reminding me, you have gifts too. Go out there. You know, go out there and pray. Go out there and put some packages together. Do a coat drive. Get out there. Show the students how to do Jesus. Show the students to get out there and love the city. Show the students to get out there in the colleges. Show the students how to get out there in the high schools and do something radical. We don't got to wait for all the other churches. But what are you doing to impact cities? And that's because God has placed things in my life. And he's showing me. Right? But God gives us specific spiritual gifts as a vehicle for him to use us in the church to bless others. And 1 Corinthians 12 shows us that. But also I want to share one more. Mark 16:17-18. And it reads like this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now I don't want you to get all crazy on me right now. All right? But it says this. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be recovered. That's what happened to me. They laid hands on me. As soon as the church laid hands on me, there was only 12 people in the church. That whole service was for me. They laid hands, boom, something lifted off of me, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. It says this. I believe this, that every believer in Christ should watch for opportunities. Should watch for opportunities for God to use them to minister to others. It says right here that the gifts will follow believers. If you're a believer, God has given you a gift. The truth is, and this is what I love, is even the newest person here today. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you say, man, I haven't had that encounter you're talking about. I haven't had that experience of the life leaving me and a new life coming upon me. Then today's that day for you. Today's that day for you. If you say, man, I've been here and I've accepted Jesus and I'm a believer and I'm still wondering, man, I feel like I have this or I feel like I'm good in this area. God wants to bring confirmation to the gift that he's given you here today so that you can go and be activated and you can start using that gift. But I like how Pastor Charlie said it. Let's not get ahead of God. Let's not get ahead of the Lord when we're operating in these things that God shows us. It says that all signs will follow us if we are true believers in Christ. And the truth is, even the newest Christian here today has a gift and can use that gift to serve others. So you can get active today. Hello. You say, what do I do next? Get active. What do I do? Go love on somebody. What do I do? Go share what took place this morning. Go share how the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Go share how the Holy Spirit is real. Go share, man, I've been going through a week in my life where it's been crazy, a month in my life where it's been crazy, a year in my life where I've been going through things that I've never gone through before. But my friend, can I tell you, I got a touch from the Holy Spirit there on Sunday morning. God touched my life, and I'm here just to testify that God is real, that God loves you. Come on over to the house of God. Come on over here to this Bible study. Come on, partner with us as we go on to the third wave service. Come on over and let God touch your life. He did it for me. Come on. What's important to understand is this, though. Just because God gifts us in some areas, it does not mean we can expect them to be used or noticed. You want to know what the key is? We must be activated in the presence of God. It's when we're in the presence of God, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will empower you. And then what he does is he opens up your heart. And you know what your response will be when he opens up your heart and the Lord is with you? You'll say, I give this to you, God. I give you my life. I give this gift to you so that you can use it for your honor and glory. We have to be actively pursuing and waiting on the Holy Spirit to move. You know, a lot of the times we say, man, God, I want to meet you over here. Lord, I need you right here. God, will you do this? God, will you do that? God, will you meet me here? But you know what I believe God is calling the church to do? I believe God is calling us as the body of believers to find God where he is at and meet him there. And start using what God gave us and say, okay, God, if this is the area, I'm tired of asking you over here and tired of commanding you and trying to bring down heaven in this area. But man, I see you working right there. So guess what? I'm going to partner with you right here and I'm going to just use what you gave me so I can see the furtherance of the gospel in my family, so I can see my son get saved, so I can see my daughter get saved, so I can see my aunties and my uncles and my neighbors, my coworkers get saved. That's what this thing is all about. God didn't hit me with a miracle so I could keep that miracle to myself. No, he said, listen, I touched you with a power that can't be contained. I touched you with a spirit that can't be contained. I touched you with a power that is more powerful than anything in this world. Now go out and reach the world. Go out and tell them about Jesus. And you know, people come to me and some people say, man, how is it that you never went back? How is it that you don't struggle with certain things? I'm still struggling. I said, I don't know. I just got hit with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't want none of that no more. Now, there's still things that I'm working out within my salvation, and every single one of us will. But what I can tell you is that I have something special. You have something special. God does things in our life, and those things aren't meant to be kept in. Those things are to be released. Your testimony is to be released. Your gift is to be released. We have to be actively pursuing and waiting on the Holy Spirit to move. This is where we will have the sensitivity and discernment to his heart. Are you with me this morning? I got a quick question for you. Have you ever received a gift and wondered, man, how much thought and effort really went into this gift? Anybody, you ever received a Christmas gift and be like, Grandma, I don't wear pink sweaters. Right? No, Grandma, she always just gets you something. But you always end up taking it back, getting what you like. Yeah, re-gift. Right? Sometimes we receive gifts that we really don't like. Some of those gifts we end up what? Regifting to others. Did you know there's actually rules for regifting now? I was always taught don't regift. If someone blessed you, use that blessing. But there's rules now today for regifting. They say, listen, if you get a gift and you want to regift it, don't regift it within the family. I got you that. Right? I gave you that. Right? They say don't re-gift within the family. I knew that would hit home. Right? They also say this. If you do receive a gift and you want to re-gift it, you have to package it up nicer than you got it. You can't just, you know, oh, okay, and then hand it back off. You have to dress it up nicer. But what is my point here today? My point is sometimes we receive what we don't want, and we give what we don't want away. Not even knowing we're giving it away sometimes. And if we think about it, we do this to God too. Instead of putting our thought and our heart into what we offer him, some of us, we give half-hearted gifts. Hello. But can I tell you, when we look at Christianity, when we see throughout the ages, the gospel has been advanced and carried on by those who were touched by God, activated their gifts, and used what the Lord gave them. Then they gave it out to others, but they kept the gift too. Right? They didn't just, you know, that's okay. I have a business, but I don't touch nobody else's life. Hello. I have this or I have that, and it just stays dormant or it stays with me. The church advanced when the people understood the gifts that God gave them. And then they begin to use those gifts to bless others. Do you understand where we're going here this morning? I believe the church is a place that reaches. A church and the Spirit of God and the temple and the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, is not the walls. We know that. It's the body of believers. It's the individuals, you and I, that make up the body of Christ, that go beyond these four walls, that go into work every day, that go into schools every day, that go into different places every day. And God wants to use the body of Christ to begin to reach the world with the gospel. It hasn't changed. It will never change until his return. We're going to see God using individuals. I bet you at one point in time someone pulled up on you, or God, you know, impacted your heart. I remember I was at a restaurant one day and I looked at my wife and I said, I'm supposed to go pray for that guy. He had a bunch of gold. He looked like a real mean guy. And I thought if I go up to him, he's going to think I'm an enemy or I've done something or I'm trying to hit him up. And I'm there and I'm like, no, I'm going to go. And so, man, I go. I talked to him and I said, listen, I just feel led to come and pray for you and your family. I'm talking about right there at Applebee's. And I sit down with them and I just hold both their hands and says, okay, if we pray. You know, they had a baby and I'm like, I just want to pray for you guys. I'm a new father. I know what it is. It's been kind of crazy for us. And I just want to pray for a blessing for you. Boom. Just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. right? Just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there's things that God has placed inside of us, and I believe that right now the Holy Spirit is demanding a response from the church. I said, I believe that the Holy Spirit is demanding a response from the church. I believe right now God is waiting for people to get activated. God is waiting for people to stand up and roll up their sleeves and come on. When we look at the book of Acts this morning, I also want to help us draw a deeper conclusion. And this is what we were able to share if you were here yesterday. It says in Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, and he said this, fellow Jews and all of you who are here and live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's just 9 in the morning. And right here, they seen the people operating under the power. They seen the people doing things that they couldn't understand. And they automatically wanted to assume that, man, they must be drunk. Man, they must be foolish. Man, they must be all over the place. Man, they must this. And right? And it came and they begin. But he said, no, listen, let me correct your thoughts. Those of you that are here, those of you that are looking in, what's taking place is what the prophet Joel spoke about. Verse 17, he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And I love verse 21 and 22, and it says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 22, I like how he further goes forward, not only stopping there with Joel and what the prophet spoke and how he was saying, like, this is the beginning of the end times. What took place there in the upper room, that was the beginning of the end times. Right? But right now, we're still living out the book of Acts. Right now, we're still living out the end times. And we believe we're preparing ourselves because he is coming. But I love verse 22. It says this, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, and you yourselves know. Right here, the man of God goes on to not only credit the Old Testament prophecy, but then he says, listen, we got Jesus too. We got Jesus, and this is a continual. This is another evidence accrediting what was spoken about in those times is now coming to pass in these times. And now we get to physically walk with Jesus, and now we've seen him go, but now he said the Holy Spirit would come. He was giving credit to the Holy Spirit. He was saying, listen, what I've been talking about, what happened at the altar, the power that hit me was the same thing that he was telling the crowd. Listen, what you see in that person's life, what you see in these 120, what that is that's God fulfilling his promise. And I believe right now that we are still in the active move of God where he is fulfilling the promise. I believe our founders are a fulfillment of the promise. I believe the third wave is a fulfillment of the promise. And guess what? I believe the fourth wave will be a fulfillment of the promise. But guess what? I believe God is activating the church. God is positioning us to be in the right place with the right mindset to make sure that our heart, and not just all of our outer appearance, but the inner appearance of our heart is recognized by the Holy Spirit. So that when God says, man, where is a servant? Where is a man and woman? I gave the church gifts. I gifted that person. Okay, there they are. Man, their heart is open. Boom, go to work. Okay, that young individual. Oh, I gave her a gift. Oh, man, I dropped it in her heart. She knows what it is. Boom, I activate her. Now go to work. I believe God is raising up a church that is effective and will reach the world. Here in scripture, we see Peter teaching them the real reason why they had just witnessed what they witnessed. He said, this is what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for this. And now it's happening. Prophecy is being fulfilled. And at this moment in scripture, we see a revival. and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on many people that were waiting in the upper room. It was there in that moment that many began to do things that were not in their human nature. They spoke in languages that they never learned. That's like if I just started preaching this message in Chinese, you'd be like, what? They understood languages that were being spoken in that room. And they were able to interpret what was being spoken, and they never learned the language. And that was God's design then, to bring the growth to the church with different languages and different cultures and different places and different times. And God gave that DNA to the church. But I believe that DNA is still what we live on today. I believe that DNA is still what's being carried out in our day and age. We're still living out the end times. And I believe God is trying to activate the church. Peter then takes a moment to go further with them and to share about the miracles of Christ as direct evidence that Jesus was also accredited by God. And he's here on earth as evidence that scripture is still coming to pass. What does this mean for us today? This means what we see taking place there in the book of Acts is what we should see taking place inside of the church. And I believe that's what's going on. I believe our ministry, we operate in the thing called deliverance. I remember when I got delivered from drug addiction instantly. I told you it left. Everything left me. I believe that there's miracles, signs, and wonders in the house. Excuse me, let me get a drink. The model that we see in Acts is the same model we follow today. The Spirit of God was poured out on many who were gathered in faith, waiting, expecting for something to happen. And it was there, for God came upon them. And I would say that setting of that 120 in that room looks a lot like this setting here in the church today. That this church, we are gathered in faith. We've been praying all week, and today and all week we've been coming under the word of God. And I believe that just like then, we today are waiting. We are today gathered in faith saying, listen, we're waiting on the Holy Spirit under the word of God so we can believe the same power that was offered to them that day is the same power that is offered to us this day. Hey. Hey. All right, we'll get there. Come on. God is ready to awaken many gifts in the room and reveal to many what he has given you so you can use it to reach the world. I believe there's many in this room that have been waiting on an encounter for the Holy Spirit. I believe there's mature Christians in here, and there's also some new Christians in this building. And I believe that God, you might say, I need that touch, or I don't know what my calling is, or I don't know what my gift is. And I believe that God is just going to simply and peacefully set it on you. And he's going to show you. He's going to give you a glimpse. You might be not be doing it right now, but it's a glimpse of where God wants to take you as he matures you. Some, we're ready. We're in that place. God has given us something and we got to move in it, because guess what? That young person needs to be touched. That baby Christian or that new family, they need to be partnered with, and we got to walk them along this path of Christianity, walk them along the power of the Holy Spirit and say, listen, I remember when I was right where you were at. I was brand new in the doors. I was lost. I was bound, but God came into my life. But then he sent me to a place called the Victory Home where I could learn how to pray, where I can learn how to fast, where I can learn how to read my word, where I can learn how to take some direction, because I thought I knew it all. I thought what I could do in myself was great. But guess what? My home director looked at me and he said, how's that been working for you? And I was like, well, I don't know. I ended up in a bush. I ended up in a bush smoking cigarettes, hiding from the cops, under cars, sleeping in grease pits, right? Got messed up all my clothes, helicopters are out. I'm running around. I'm breaking into buildings. I'm doing all this crazy stuff, right? And he said, well, guess what? If you would just surrender your life for 1 year, I'll bet you, listen, God will radically change your life. And listen to this. He said, if he doesn't, guess what? Your misery's back outside for free. Guess what? You're bound. You're lost. All of that's back out there for free. But if you would just surrender to the Holy Spirit, if you would surrender to God and just give your life wholeheartedly, not saying, man, I'm going to give it half-hearted. Man, this thing that God gave me, this door that he opened, maybe I'll just give it to someone else, or maybe I won't even regard it. Maybe I'll just, you know, take it loosely. We can't take what God is doing here today in the church loosely. I believe he's preaching miracles, signs and wonders, and he's doing miracles in individuals' lives, and he's touching people with the power of God. Why is he touching people with the power of God? Because he wants to ignite the church so they can go reach the world. Hey! Is anybody with me? I said he wants to ignite the church. He wants to touch certain individuals so they can go out into the world and reach and teach and preach and do all of these amazing things that God does within the body of Christ. Because how many of us know there's a lost and a bound world? How many of us know I still got brothers that need to get saved? I still got sisters that need to get saved. I still got aunties and uncles that have been backsliding for years and God hasn't taken their life. So there's still a chance for them to get saved. So guess what? I got to keep being an example. I got to keep making those phone calls. I got to keep telling them, listen, God is real. When I looked at you in that church and I said, what are you doing? And you were, And I said, why are you doing that? And you told me it's the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Holy Ghost is when it comes upon you. Now guess what? I'm the miracle that gets to speak back into the life of my individuals that spoke life into me at one moment. I believe, listen, we're in a place right now, maybe the person that brought you in needs to be brought back in. I'm here to tell you today that what God is doing in your life demands a response. I believe it. I believe God touches us for a reason. It's not for no reason. I believe here today that some need a touch from heaven, a miracle in your life. And I don't want to operate outside of what I believe God is doing and what God was showing me. There are some here today that God is going to reveal your gift. He's going to confirm your gift. But there are also some today that need salvation. And there are also some today that need a miracle in their body. I believe this. God was showing me that blood needs to be restored. Sight needs to be recovered. Restoration of the marriage needs to happen. And today God is ready to pour out his spirit. But must we be willing to allow God in? Are you willing to let God in? Are you willing to position yourself and say, God, yes, I know I'm gifted. Yes, I know your Holy Spirit is real. Would you come in and use my life? Lord, I give you place to fix this. Lord, I give you place to lead me. If we think about it, this is the equation that God developed to bring growth to the church in the last days. And this morning, I just want to share with you a few of the gifts, because you might say, well, I don't know what the gifts are. I don't know what they are. I don't know if I have it or if I don't have it. And today, I just want to give you a quick little piece of teaching within this, and then we're going to make an altar call. But I believe God is going to move. I believe he's already moving. What you feel right now, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. What you feel stirring inside of you, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. God has already been showing you, man, I gave you that. I gave you that. I gave you that. I gave you that. Now use it. Or thank you for using it. I'm so happy. I'm glad that you've been using it. Now I'm going to give another level for you to use it. Right now, I want to just give you a list of the gifts so that you can understand it. Just a brief description. There's prophecy. The Greek word translated in both means just to speak forth, a divine inspiration of declaring the purpose of God. Right? Prophecy is to declare the divine will for a moment. It could come in correction. It could come in these different things, in encouragement. But that's the gift of prophecy. I like this one, the gift of serving. Hello. Is there any servants in the house of God? Everybody wants to slay demons and cast out, but don't want to serve. Hello. Everyone wants to operate in all these spiritual things and all the heavenly realm, but they don't want to serve. They don't want to show up. They don't want to show up and man their posts. They don't want to show up. They don't want to go here or go there. Oh, that's out of my schedule. Or I got a lot going on. My friend, can I tell you, there's a gift called serving, and it's called ministering. This word is service of any kind. Service of any kind. So whatever you're good at, offer it to God, and it will be a service that he can use. Oh, come on. Everybody wants all the, they want to do the prophecy, and I want to speak, and I want to interpret. Brother and sister, you ain't got that. But I do see that you got to get the serving. Because every time you invite me over, it's real nice. But you don't go outside of the home. Teaching. This is the explaining the meaning and context and the application to the hearers of the word of God. It's proclamation of the word of God. Teaching. Kind of what I'm doing right now. Teaching. Then there's encouraging. How many of you just need an encouraging word? How many of you just been down and you've been hurting, or you've been in a battle and you didn't tell nobody, you didn't share with nobody, and all of a sudden there's those people, like my wife was talking about, like your pastors here in the city, where all of a sudden they just come alongside of you and a blessing comes and a word of encouragement or just a text to say hi, right? How many of us know that God has given the gift of encouragement to certain individuals because God knows that your heart is sensitive. God knows that you've been in places, and because you've been in those places, he now has done something in your life, and he's encouraged you so that you can be an encouragement as well. Encouraging is those who constantly call upon others to heed and follow God's truth for their life. Giving, hello. You're like, two people want to leave now. Right, you hear, you, I know, you were like, well, I know about, you know, this and that, but giving is a gift. Yeah, giving is a gift. It says giving is gifted. Givers are those who joyfully share what they have with others. And I believe that's your pastors. They joyfully share what they have with other people. That's why you have men's homes and you have second phases, and we have a church whose doors are always open, because there's giving. It could be whether financial, material, or giving of personal time and attention. You might say, well, I don't have finances to give. But I can listen real good. I can hear real good. That's not me, but I get crazy stuff, and all of a sudden I'm wanting to go and plug in the keyboard or something. So, but I can listen too. But I really got to just sit down and listen. But the gift of giving of your time, your material, finances. Next is the gift of leadership. This literally means that you have a gift to guide people in the right way. Hello. You guys out there? Amen. All right. Praise God. It literally means to be able to guide and carry people through the word of God and through the love of God. Next is mercy. It's those who are compassionate towards others who are in distress, always showing sympathy and sensitivity. Can I tell you, every time my wife sees someone on the side of the road, she's, oh, we gotta pull over. I'm like, they probably got guns. It's probably a setup. It doesn't matter, just pull over, they need help. And then there'll be ones where we pull over and we assess it and say, that's a mom, she needs some help. Tire went flat, she needs to get pushed off the road, or need to change that thing out for her, right? But I swear, my wife, this is her, she's always having mercy on other people. She's like, I want to help. Man, I see what they're going through. She always is loving on other people. Then there's words of wisdom. So you guys forgot the giving, forgot the serving, and we're like, I got all the wisdom. But it is a gift. There is a gift, and it says this. The gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth, not your truth. Biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to the life of situations. And this is the key, with discernment. Right? Many times we want to speak and do all these things, and
if you're not careful, you speak something in the wrong direction. You know, you speak things because, you know, I really feel this, that if we're going to operate in gifts, and this is where the maturity comes, you're going to hear one and say, man, I'm a giver. I'm a servant. I can do those things now. But you might say, man, I also feel like I have these something else too as well. Then you got to let God mature it in you. You got to have like somebody that you can bounce things off of. You got to have a mentor in your life that can say, man, I've been doing it for 10 years and I've never seen it done like that. This is new. Right? Or I don't feel that was the Lord. Or I you know, there's people who have gone before us. There's individuals who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and they've seen the move of God throughout the years, and it's important. I feel it's important to when we get into some of these heavier ones, to understand you can't start operating with them right away. That God has to bring maturity, God has to bring development in your life. But today, I believe right there, when I got hit with the laying of hands and the instant deliverance, boom, I knew, wow, this can happen. This can really happen because it happened for me. And now I get to use that as my testimony. I get to use that and say, man, I don't know all of scripture just yet, but what I can tell you is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you if you give yourself to the Lord, he'll meet you right here wherever you're at, and he'll affect your life with the Holy Spirit. So I'm still learning, right? I'm still learning. Still today, I'm still learning. But I believe even then, God showed me something. And then it was there. They say, listen, if you do have a gift, you got to start testing the waters. Don't test ones and get ahead of God that you're not supposed to be testing. But it says you do got to operate. You do got to, if God gives you something and you feel he's putting something on your heart, if he says, man, I want you to partner with that person. I want you to sow a seed into their life. I want you to pick them up for church. I want you to help them get their kids to school. Whatever it might be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I believe that it's important. I said all that to say this, is to have people in your life, mentors, that you can, you know, have as a sounding board. And then ultimately, the Holy Spirit as our ultimate sounding board for discernment. Then there's words of knowledge. Did I give you that one? Words of wisdom is the gift to describe someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to the life and the situation with discernment. Next is the word of knowledge. This involves understanding truth with an insight that only comes by revelation from God. Those with this gift of knowledge understand the deep things of God and the mysteries of his word. I don't think all of us have that gift, right? But there are some who are mature. There are some who have been in the presence of God for years, and the Lord will set this word of knowledge. There are some that operate in it. But it is a gift. Next is faith. Is there any faith in the building? I said, is there any faith in the building? Faith is a spiritual gift that exhibits when one with a strong and unshakable confidence in God, his word, and his promises. And it comes through power of prayer, and then it ends up in the effect of miracles. Faith is the evidence of all the things unseen. Faith is that conduit that brings forth the movement of God. If we could have the worship team come. Next is healing. We know what that one is, right? It's when God supernaturally touches the body or the mind or a certain circumstance or a situation, and he does only what God can do. No man can do it. Healing comes by way of God's power. You and I, we get gifted, some of us, and we have those things. And if you want scripture for that, 2 Corinthians 2:12. Next is miraculous powers. And we see this a lot in the Old Testament. And we do see it throughout the ages. But also, this is known as the working of miracles. Acts 2:22. Next is distinguishing spirits. Certain individuals possess the unique ability to determine the true message of God. Next is speaking in tongues, which we see there in Acts. It's involved in the divine ability to speak the language previously unknown to the speaker. And then next is interpretation, a person with the gift of being able to interpret. And this is the one that I like and where I want to draw it home, is the gift of helps. Those with the gift of helps are those who can aid or render assistance to others in the church with compassion and grace.
And what I was speaking about in the beginning was, from day one, I felt the love of God because there was people that had the gift to help other people. And I think all those other lofty ones, all those deep understanding through the word, those are great, and we have them. Some of us have them. But I think we could start right here with the gift to help. I believe every single one of us, we can help in one way or another in someone else's life. And it was there what I experienced when I came to the church. It's what you probably experienced at the church, with someone that partnered with you, someone that loved on you, someone that took time to share with you, someone that spoke into your life, someone who blessed into your life, someone who did something that helped you along the way. And you said, man, there's something different about the church. Man, there's something different. I was out here and I was running and I was trying to find help from that thing. I was trying to find help in that program. I was trying to help from those people. But man, it was only in the house of God where I found the true help that I needed. When I came, I said, listen, I ain't got no money and I ain't got no time to wait on a waiting list. I need to go today for free. Ooh, I was putting some demands on it, huh? And that's because every other door that I tried, it cost money to be on a waiting list to get my life right. Like, how are you going to tell a drug addict to wait? I ain't got no patience already, and now I'm on another influence. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go and just go deeper into my addiction. I'm going to go deeper, and this is another excuse for me not to change. But can I tell you, when I came to the house of God, the doors were wide open. When I came to the house of God, individuals' arms were wide open. I believe God is calling the church to have wide open arms, wide open hearts, so that when God brings the increase, they can come into a house full of love, full of encouragement, full of people who say, I'm willing to back you up. I'm willing to partner with you. I know how God came into my life. He picked me up, and now he set me in your life so he can pick you up. Is there a church that is ready to respond to the Holy Spirit here today? You say, I want God to give me the gift of help. I want God to give me the gift of giving. I want God to give me the gift to be able to do these different things so I can partner with people and bring them in and watch God radically change their life like he did mine. Is that you and I today? If it is, I want us all to stand and you say, listen, I hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I hear what God wants to do. And I just need an open door. Some, we know what God has given us, and he's going to confirm to you the open door that you're supposed to apply that gift. For some, you say, I'm still figuring this thing out. And God is going to set it on you. And today, we'll have a moment, if it's your first time, or they're online, if it's your first time, and you just, God brought you in to the church, today, God has something special for you. I could say, God did it for me. I look around the room and I see God did it for him, God did it for her. And we're still believing for God to do it for many more, amen? The altars are open here this morning. Father, we love you, Jesus. Come on, if this word ministered to you.
In the atmosphere, the ground is shaking.
I believe the Holy Spirit is demanding a response from the church. Right there where you're at, I want you to close your eyes. Lift your hands. And God is going to meet you here at the altars.